with you because there's different elements. So there's water for construction. There was concern about dust and making sure we had water on site for minimizing dust in construction, and that's water delivery associated with that. Then with respect to the water delivery underground pipe from the Port of Morrow to the project parcel, that is proposed to be within the public right-of-way. That was illustrated in the presentation today. We're continuing to negotiate that agreement with the port that hopefully should be done by the time we're before the board so we can put it in the record. And then the obligation is on the port to design, engineer, construct, including permitting, within the right-of-way, the delivery system out Tower Road.
Okay, with all due respect, I would like clarification that is not included in any of our impact studies that were presented tonight. Is that correct? Because you were putting that on the...
I'm sorry, you cut out on the last part.
So, no, it is not in our report, as in, because... I'm sorry,
David.
Mm-hmm. Report, it is still in red line editing, and it cannot be put into official record.
Okay, just so that's good to know. That was my question. I appreciate your answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, if I may, Commissioner Killian and Chair Ekstrom, the transmission, the water line is not part of this.
Right.
So it could be added to the conditions of approval that you forward to the Board of Commissioners. It's not 100% clear in my mind if that's just a road use permit or if it's a more complicated land use permit. And Elaine and I had a discussion about it. It's not clear to me. And I think the department, Land Conservation and Development, has that question tonight to add to their testimony.
I think Mary's comments are the construction of that pipeline are not part of the transportation study that we...
Correct.
And it's a good point.
Yep.
I mean, that's a whole
other
round of stuff that's going to impact those 250 loads an hour that are heading down that road.
Yep.
And, you know, the 150-foot right-of-way compared to 60-foot is...
Big difference.
Big difference, yeah.
So in my mind, and maybe Elaine can add to it, is that a finding that counties obligated to address under Goal 12, or is it not because it's a separate facility and a separate permit, and you're not asking for the water permit tonight?
I would say the latter.
Okay. So if they don't, just to translate, if this were to be approved, and they have to file separate applications for the water line. And that's not part of the approval tonight.
Okay. My next question, I'm not sure who to address it to. But I think I commend you guys. I think I've done a good job demonstrating the historical use of that land. I appreciate that personally. I understand, you know, what that land has been used for and is likely to be used for in the future, you know, aside from you guys. But what I don't understand on this application is, in order to approve this, are we required to be convinced that there's no other land available in the county that can be?
Yes.
Is that part of that? Because I know we keep addressing that.
The reasonable alternatives have been considered.
And I've seen your statements along those.
Yeah.
Is there, okay, so maybe it would be a question to the port. Is there anyone from the port? Are they ready to make a statement that they don't have any ground available for data center development, the Port of Morrow?
And it's against the siting criteria. So the siting criteria were developed to determine what is reasonable under the alternatives analysis for the goal exception.
So this is the part I'm struggling with. So go ahead and answer the question.
So we, at the last hearing, we had talked about the 8 siting criteria that Ronan developed against which it would evaluate whether available land was reasonable,
right.
Was a reasonable alternative. And so it developed those 8 criteria. We had talked through them last time with the handout. And Tess mentioned them on her presentation tonight. And so Rowan first started looking at lands within Morrow and Umatilla counties, and then essentially, you know, kind of went through the tiered. And this is touched more on the supplemental land use tech memo that was submitted, so that we then, you know, screened sites against the 8 criteria, and then there was 5 alternatives identified with specificity that were then screened against the criteria, which ultimately led to the selection of the proposed site. And so that's what was reflected, and it's based on evidence that was available at the time of those analysis. And then in response to questions from the from the Planning Commission from the last hearing, we went and had further inquiry into like the Umatilla Depot. That was one of the questions that came up last time. So that was part of the supplemental information we provided tonight on that land use citing factor of that test.
Okay.
If we want to put solar panels on that underground and the water was right there, we could. Sorry.
Trade.
I feel a little miffed.
You guys weren't involved in that.
No.
Could I ask a question or make a comment, Chair, please?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so I asked that question, and their response was what she just told you, but that it was just a snapshot in time, basically, that alternative sites didn't exist at that moment in time. So am I to understand that tomorrow, perhaps, additional sites could be available that are not zoned exclusive farmland use? And that, for the record, is my only concern. Because I believe as a commission, it is our job to protect land that is zoned exclusive farm use. I don't have a problem, per se, with data centers. So if we were able to have another option in a year or a month or a day, you know, that's totally possible. And we could then stay within the criteria that we are here to preserve. So am I correct in that, in clarifying that for him?
I'm not sure what your question is. I'm sorry.
I don't have a question. Remember, I asked that question, and your response was that at that moment in time, there were no alternative sites available. But tomorrow there could be, or the next day, or whenever. So it's possible that additional sites become available within Morrow County or the area for data centers in the future.
It could be. It could be.
Yeah.
But the test is, you know, evaluating it against what's reasonable at the time you're preparing your material for your application, and our application has been deemed complete, and so that's the universe we're working with. And then in response to questions, we looked again and further analyzed the criteria for the land use citing factor. So if there are specific sites you have in mind or that you think are available or there's options, you know, that is something that could be discussed, but based on the record before us, this is the alternatives analysis we have to present.
Right. Okay. So that's what I wanted to clarify. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And Chair, I just say that the Thousand Friends letter, I have not finished it, but that is one of their points as well. So we'll probably hear more a little bit more about that later.
Any additional questions for that?
Thank you.
The road guys get up at like way ODOT 30. So do we have more questions for them?
And if you do, it's fine.
Okay.
If you're done with public works, that's great too.
Public works, all roads. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
On this issue.
I know. I need prepared.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course, you're welcome to stay.
Thank you, Commissioner. Yes.
Thank you, Eric.
Yep.
At this time, I would invite anybody who's an opponent.
Somebody, if anyone else furthers in the favor, is that right?
I'm sorry. I have her scripted pretty clearly.
Did you go with continued people in favor? Is anybody there anymore?
Oh, you could do in favor first if you'd like. Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Or does it?
Yeah. No, you can do that for sure. Yeah. Anybody else in favor?
Anybody additional in favor would like to present?
That actually makes sense. Yeah, John, we'll get you. Do you want to be under neutral testimony, John? Or
I'm sorry. Chair and Tamara, I couldn't hear that very well. Yeah, I'm content to whatever the time is right. Just let me know.
So he's maybe neutral, maybe opposition. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, let's go with this, Jeremy.
Okay.
Says
oh, we got somebody right. in favor.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you read your name and address?
Yes, my name is Scott Neal. I live at 623 8th Street South, Fargo, North Dakota. I'm president of real estate for Already Offer Company. It's the parent company for Fremont. I'm also a family member of Ron Offit. I've been married in the family for about 38 years, and I've been out here numerous times. Marty was a golf buddy of mine, and I wish he could be here today to talk in favor of this project, too. You know, a lot of this vision about the farm was all about Marty and his vision of sustainable farming, and our idea is to have a farm due to its size, is able to self-sustain itself in terms of crop production, in terms of rotating out with the dairy and using energy and all those things. And when David and this group came to us, it was part of an alternative energy plan, so we do regenerative gas there, obviously. And part of that was also a solar vision, and that solar also applying to other needs around the world, such as data and so forth. So, you know, we saw that the city of Boardman was not too happy with the way that the data centers was going. When they came to us, we said, well, this is an area that maybe it could be off the beaten path, if you will. It's a place that we could give back to the community and do things, but it would be not on the main road, if you will, on the highway, so it's not visible. And that's a location that's hopefully not too impactful. All the transmission lines are going to be on our property, so we're not looking at taking right-of-way or some sort of eminent domain from other parts that I think you've had trouble with in the past. Water's going to be, you know, basically down right-of-way that's on the road, on our road or near our roads. And really the whole thing is kind of like the rest of the vision. It's kind of self-contained within our boundaries and our uses. So the impact is really against us. And so the people that theoretically should be complaining, you know, and the public certainly has a right to complain, or be in favor, but really it's about us, because it's really in our land and our culture, and we're in favor of it. And so, you know, Jeff Wendler's here, head of our dairy operation, Greg Harris is head of our farm air machine. You know, I'm here, happy to have them come talk to you as well. But I just wanted to say that we are, you know, we've been working with the staff. I go around the country and do these kind of planning meetings, and first off, I want to say thank you to the planning director of planning. You know, I've never seen a packet put together this professional, especially at this level. So, you know, hats off to you guys.
I'm a kid.
And, you know, you guys have done a wonderful job. And you're asking great questions, too. And so is the Planning Commission. And I also want to thank Rowan. I mean, usually you don't get this kind of, you know, effort and money and all the effort that they put together. I mean, a stack of papers got to be this high, right? And you guys probably, you know, I don't know if you've seen a presentation this long or this lengthy with this amount of paper and expect to read it and make a decision on it. You know, that's a lot to ask you. So I want to thank you for that. At the end of the day, it probably gets down to not about the paper, because I think the paper probably says if this is okay. It's probably about, do you like it or not? And we're saying that we're okay with it. And so I'm hoping you guys do too. If you have any questions about us, or again, of our farming operations, feel free.
Commissioner Killian.
Yes?
Your hands up.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to, but I'm glad they asked questions.
Okay.
But did he just offer to answer questions about their farming operations, if I heard that correctly?
Yeah, Greg's happy to answer if you have any questions.
Yeah, I had asked this last meeting. And I was told it was too personal. However, if you're willing to answer, can I ask?
Depends on the question.
Well, I was just curious. I got in trouble for it before, so I can get in trouble for it twice. I'm totally okay with getting in trouble. So you guys have a wonderful farming operation, something I look up to, somebody I've followed forever on social media platforms. And I was just curious how you're going to spin this one to look pretty.
Could I interrupt? Mary, could you phrase that, Commissioner Killian, I'm sorry, could you phrase that in the context of the applicable standards. So the spreadsheet that we have, perhaps your question is whether or not this proposed development would be compatible with farming or have any negative impacts. And that puts your question in the context of whether or not the application complies with that standard. And it's listed in this table here.
Absolutely. If that's what I need to say, let's say that.
So is it compatible with farming and would it have any negative impacts on your farming operation?
Yeah, so the location this is at, like as Scott mentioned.
Greg, could you give your address, please?
Just sure.
Greg Harris, yeah.
Greg Harris, Hermiston, Arlington, 019 Waters Way. Farm manager and agronomist at 3 Mile for 23 years. So this piece of property, you know, one of the tasks that I had many years ago was to look at the whole 41,000 acres that we can develop. That's in our final order, that's our water right, that's all we can maximize on 3 Mile Canyon. We've been all through the farm, we know the soil types. We know we're going to develop irrigation and where we're going to develop ground. This piece was never one of them. So this piece will never be farmed. You know, our water rights, once we get to 41,000, you know, we're done. So we cannot expand that water right. That's part of also a settlement agreement that's in a final order that's on the document of the VRP.
Can you go into a little detail why? Specifically why this ground is not
because you're out of a water right or because
we have is a,
so one the suitability of the ground.
Yeah.
And
is this I mean I could get soils map out, I
sure as well.
Is that circle right next to it any different than the one on the other side of the line? Like if you had another 200 acres of water rights, could this grow everything else you grow?
And so
I'm not against. I think it's a way better place there than where they're putting them, but yeah.
So we've got other property on the farm that is much more suitable to farming than this. And in fact, you know, there's times we farm that other ground that we wonder why the heck we're farming there when we're digging chisel points out of the ground because we get rock and Mother Earth shows herself, you know, pretty shallow right there.
So the 6 and 7 soils are sand, is that correct?
There's sand, but they're very shallow.
Okay.
Also, there's outcroppings in there that are not good in equipment.
That's what I wanted to hear. There's too much thin soil.
Because sand itself is what it's all about. Then.
Yeah. We farm plenty of sand. Yeah. It's just rocks are tough to farm.
Sorry, farm. I trade some of my 3s and 4s for your 6s and 7s with water.
So as far as the So the ground, so there's other pieces of parts of the ground on there that you know, we've chosen to develop with our 41,000 acres of water rights over this that are very much more suited for any agriculture that we do. You know, to your comments, and as far as the usefulness of this ground, you know, that the data center you see being built on Bombing Range, you know, that was ground that we leased, right? We were farming that ground, so. Yeah. I personally lost 125 acres of really nice farm ground to data centers.
We didn't get to make that decision.
We talked about that at the last meeting, yes. Though. But, yeah. We did.
You know, there's I guess the point of that is just because sometimes ground's zoned industrial use doesn't necessarily mean that's the best use of that ground. In my opinion, the best use of that ground would have been keeping it farm. And, you know, I would love to continue farming that ground. It was organic farm ground that we'd spent a lot of money on transitioning into organics. This piece of ground is rock. It's slope. It does not affect animals. I mean, if you think it affects animals, come look at all the other corn they eat. So they love my corn. They don't like this piece of ground. The, you know, this ground we're never going to farm. And I would much rather see a data center on that piece of ground than on the piece of ground that we're putting.
Any additional questions? Sorry, were you done?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, unless there's any more questions, we'll be done.
That was helpful, though. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. At this time, I will invite any opponents to testify and present evidence.
And we also have, did we put neutral on your list? Because one person, okay, perfect, okay.
Yeah. Hi. So am I on?
Oh, are you a opponent, Susan, or are you a
pro? No.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you, hold on one moment then.
So, I'm in support. My name is Susan Christensen. My address is 27 Southwest Fraser Avenue, Pendleton, Oregon, 97801. I am the Executive Director of Greater Eastern Oregon Development Corporation. We are a federally recognized community and development organization, and we provide service to 7 Eastern Oregon counties, including Morrow. So our main mission, to simplify what we do, is to create and retain jobs. And this project fits within our strategic plan. And this testimony is in addition to our written testimony that's already been submitted. And I just would like to encourage that this project supports that this project can support via financial Boardman Rural Fire. And I'm not saying the county, but I just think that as a community partner, if the project can support the Rural Fire District, that would be awesome. So, so I'm just here in support.
Thank you. Do we have any additional people in support that I missed on?
Anybody online in support?
Okay. Now, invite anybody who is an opponent to testify and present evidence. Anybody who's neutral?
We do have a couple. Oh. Who is T.Y.? Or John is going to. John Jones. Okay.
Yeah, this is Jonathan Coleman. Boardman, can I go ahead, Tamara, or is someone else?
It's up to the chair.
Wait, are you an opponent or a neutral?
I'm neutral.
Okay, that's where we're at then.
I'll get to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no opponents here.
Yes, you can go ahead.
Okay, Jonathan Coleman, I'm a Morrow County resident. I was at the last meeting. Great discussion by the Board Commissioners. I really like the dialogue that you guys talked about there. I really have questions. If, to me, when we say that it doesn't affect anything, well, that Boardman to Hemingway line just got a PUC permit, and all those people have to basically get their property eminent domain, and that's where they're getting their power from. But if they're getting the power from the Boardman to Hemingway, and it's already hooked up to the grid, why do they need to hook up to Boardman to Hemingway? It sounds to me like there's some redundancy that they need in there for a second power line for both sides of it. And I personally would like clarification if they're going to eminent domain other properties for it, and those properties, in a sense, take a hit as far as devaluation of their property for another corporation that is going to get probably a pretty sweetheart deal like all the rest, because they're lining up for them. So it's just something to think about. I still have issues with the transportation. I would love to go through those numbers, because those numbers, to me, when they say it's insignificant, really look at those numbers. Really sit behind a truck that is going from the freeway to the Loves. They go about 5 to 10 miles an hour. And so those things, to me, really need to look at. I love the business that this creates for the community. I mean, most of these places that are proponents for it, these are people that are also going to be their head of the trough. So they're going to be, that's why they have their, you know, proponents for it. But we've really got to think about how we're going to, you know, pay for all this, especially if we give it away and, you know, on the backs of our county residents. So, and the water issue is a big thing for me as well, too. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you guys listening and a great dialogue. Thank you.
Thank you.
John Jennings is neutral again.
John Jennings, you can unmute there.
Okay, I hope you're talking to me. You were. Jason Kerr-Ekram and Commissioner Mavitt, members of the commission. I'm John Jennings. I'm the community services specialist for the Department of Land Conservation Development. I'm located My official address is 1110 MK Avenue, Suite 108, Bend, Oregon, 97702. With me this evening is our regional representative, Don Hurt. I'm going to request that Don step in and correct me or set me straight if I need it. Sometimes I do. I'll try to be brief, you guys. I kind of need to, kind of like an old Porsche, right? I need to lean into my collar a little bit to get going, get started. But I want to begin by saying we support economic development, community development. We absolutely support these items in our rural communities, our Eastern Oregon communities. We do have some concerns or anxiety questions, perhaps, about whether this is the best site. So, you know, please don't take anything we say we're against economic development or we're against data centers, for that matter. They do provide a lot of employment, especially during development. They're land intensive, but they're employment intensive as well. So where we're here, and you guys have been here before, but what we're getting here tonight is that this proposed use is allowed on land, on rural land, protected under Goal 3 for exclusive farm use. And that's why they require an exception, and exceptions, by their nature, need to be exceptional. Looking around at the various evidence, it's very clear there are thousands and thousands of acres in Morrow County that are planned and zoned for uses that aren't allowed under Goal 3, where exceptions have already been taken, where it's determined that these are exceptional areas and that they should be available for these types of activities. And that's true of lands along the I-4 corridor. In Gillum County to the west, there's the couple thousand acres around the Highway 74 interchange area, some of which is owned by Three Mile Canyon Farms, I believe. To the east, looking towards Umatilla County, there's the Umatilla County portion of the depot. And then again, there's a lot of land in Umatilla County, Morrow County itself. Some of it's very close to this particular site. Some of it's owned by the same property owner. Some of it's on the same tax lot, I believe, as this particular property. So there's also a lot of urban growth boundaries in the area, and some of them have some vacant available lands in them, and many of them I think probably could be candidates for urban growth boundary expansions if that was something that was viewed as being appropriate and necessary. The applicant has furnished some siting criteria. I think there's 8 pieces. You've seen them. I'll go through them again right now at least, and those are the guiding factors that they have, and most companies do. They have those. Oftentimes they function along with kind of hard yes or no things as an expression of company preferences. So they may or may not, they may be things that this company is willing to do or not do that may or may not mean that a particular site couldn't be developed for a particular use. So when I'm thinking about things, well, trying to get Walmart to develop in by a school district or EPS to develop where they've got to drive up a 6% grade, they won't do it. Those are company preferences. You could still build a large format retail store or build a vehicular dependent use in these areas, but you won't find those particular companies doing that because they don't want to do it. The rules that we have, and I'm really just going to stick to a couple statewide planning rules, administrative rules. They've been mentioned, and you know we have a couple of them. They're to be applied kind of collectively with regard to the goals to 3 and 11. We're looking at Division 4 and with regard to the Goal 14 exception, we're looking at Division 14. The Division 4 provisions, it's kind of, I don't like growth in this way, but you kind of are to look at the provisions of Section 0022, which talk about rural industrial lands. I believe that's been addressed by the applicants, and they've described what they believe is a significant comparative advantage that had to do, I think, with the transmission and other infrastructure, which we agree with, as I said. But it's also, you know, kind of to look at that in context and you know, to what extent are they giving a comparative advantage? Well, you know, what other sites may or may not have those, which is really the test that you apply in Section 002, which talks about you know, are there, among other things, I'm condensing things a little bit too, you know, but are there other locations that don't require an exception? And again, you know, looking at the kind of factors, we've got land size, parcel size, topography, zoning, access to infrastructure, whether that's from roads or power, whatever. There's thousands and thousands of acres that have been deemed as suitable for exceptions that appear to have all these, I believe do have all these features. I'm really confused as to why those features at the present site aren't available or present at lands just within a couple miles, literally a couple miles to the north, on lands that would require an exception. I would suspect that they are. We would also offer, we don't recommend it proper to dismiss zoning districts that don't allow for the data centers. I mean, they kind of got, it felt like, maybe I'm wrong, it felt like it kind of categorically taken off the table. And I guess we would say that we believe that amending a zoning district to allow a new use is far and away preferable to trying to justify an exception. So, you know, we think that's a fairly minor thing, but there are, right? What's a general, core industrial, general industrial allow for them one way or the other. Space industrial does not speak to this, but we think it could. You know, we think that a data center could be a pretty reasonable use in the counties, and we're very proud the state of Oregon has the space age industrial zone. We think this would be a good fit there. Just looking at my notes.
Sorry, John, I was giggling at the space age industrial
zone. There was a map it was shown in the PowerPoint too, and in the original application, I think it was figure 3, which showed kind of zoning, and that showed how close this property, this southern property is to those other lands that are not protected under Goal 3 and have been laying wait for years in some instances for non-farm uses to be sited on. So we felt that particular map is very telling. Looking at the Division 14 provisions, mm-hmm. They're similar. They're very similar to the Division 4 provisions, but there are some differences, and they all need to be accounted for. So we're still, I think, working to get our heads around the reasons why the urban uses and urban population could be served by a use like this on rural lands. We'd also say that we're not certain that the presence or planned presence of renewable energy facilities is particularly germane. But we would also say if they are, we don't understand why that wouldn't be available on these other lands also. They're all pretty close. And we just finally add that, you know, kind of betting on the come, you know, kind of waiting for a plant facility to come online, using that as your justification, is a little risky. It's a little risky, right? You know, we're familiar with the Boardman Solar Energy Facility that was approved by FSEC, was it 2018? So I mean, we hope that it gets built. It's approved. We hope that it gets built, but they haven't managed to turn the corner on that. The other thing, and I'll wrap this up pretty shortly, guys, I promise you. But one of the other tests that's unique, and it's a high bar with a Goal 14 exception, is that when you're looking at the use, is that you have to determine that it cannot be accommodated in an existing urban growth boundary or through the expansion of an existing urban growth boundary. So, you know, we understand that there has been some look at that, but I don't know if the possibility of an expansion of a UGB got the attention that it is probably due. So this is, again, these are really, really, these are really special activities and uses. The water stuff is taking a lot of time. It's complicated. I'm not sure I understand it. So the truth, we entirely agree with the applicant that a goal of an exception is necessary. That's based on that Folan case, the case law. I tried to read Folan. It's not a fun read. I haven't studied it because of that. But I do agree that it's applicable. Something we don't know, but I think probably should be answered, and I expect my friend Ali Albright probably has a good answer for him. But I don't know where the water originates. So the water could be furnished by the Port of Morrow, but I don't know what that source is, right? So that source, if that source is inside of the Boardman urban growth boundary, it would require an extension of water through and beyond that urban growth boundary. I don't know that it does, but if it does, would the city be obligated to take a goal of exception as well? So that's kind of an open question, but I think it'd be a good one to get our heads around. Whether or not that line, that 9-mile line, requires its own land use permitting or its own land use approvals, again, I think that's kind of an open question. Our feeling about that right now is that, I guess, I'm going to phrase this in a way that is a little less than definitive, but the more likely it is that that line serves a single end user, one user, and is located in a public road right-of-way, we think the less likely it is that it would require its own land use approval. So if that makes sense. We're not sure, but the way it sounds like it's going to serve as that one user and be in public road right-of-way. That feels like it moves towards, less towards like it's being its own land use approval. So, I'm just going to wrap up, you guys. Our recommendation is that this use gets cited in Morrow County if the county wants it, if it's the right fit for Morrow County. But we really think that a location that is in one of those, again, thousands of acres of lands not protected for Goal 3 that are dedicated for industrial land uses or inside an existing urban growth map. Again, I'm just going to say this because it's important. There's thousands and thousands of acres out there, many of which are owned and managed by this property owner, and some of which are on the same tax lot. I'm going to stop there, and I think I said my piece. I usually take my hat off when I testify, but I gave myself a haircut earlier today, and so it didn't turn out how I'd like, so I'm not going to subject you guys to that. But I'll stop now, and I'll be happy to try to ask you questions.
Thank you. Any questions for John?
Can I just ask John one question? So, John, would you agree that if the utility, the water utility, is in the right of way, it's permissible under Goal 3?
I would say at this point it looks that way.
Okay.
So I mean, we can come back and try to give you a more definitive answer on that, Tamara, but I think it feels that way to us. And again, particularly if it is only being, serving one distinct user. It's unusual, we'd have a line that size and that long for one user, but we're trying to get our heads around it, but we suspect it would be allowed.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other interested parties that want to present testimony or evidence at this time?
Can I ask John a question, please?
Yes, go ahead.
So, John, I don't know if this is a question or a comment, but I had asked the exact same question you did in my email and asked to find out where the water was originating. And I don't think we got a clear answer on that, and I really like what you said. I really appreciate your comments on that. So, is there a way that we could find out where the water is originating? I mean, we all know that the port has a bunch of water, but
that's not part of this.
Can we just get that for the record? Is that feasible?
So I can try. Commissioner Killian, one of the exhibits that I forwarded to you that we handed out tonight was an exhibit. It's a series of emails that included Chris Couts, the North Central Region Manager, and Miff Devin from the Port of Morrow, and Mark Patton from the Port of Morrow. So Miff identified the water rights, and there's the number. What Chris Couch said here, that provided, we don't know exactly, but the But MIF said that Porto Moro intends to deliver with its own conveyance system, the pipeline, from their point of delivery, the following rights. So there's a primary surface water right under a permit number and a transfer in addition to groundwater rights. So, but it doesn't say exactly where that point of delivery originates. So I don't know. And I'm not sure, I don't know how to answer that question.
So if I could chime in, I would admonish the commission to not do their own research on this. The applicant has the burden of proof. I think you framed your question pretty clearly, and the record has in it what it has. And if the applicant or no one else out there wants to come up with any evidence on the issue, then that's that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have to decide if the applicant has met their burden of proof.
Yeah, that's helpful. Okay. Takes me off the hook too.
So I'll rephrase. Any additional parties with want to present evidence or testimony? If not, I invite the applicant back to present any rebuttal or any testimony.
Chair, while they're deciding who to come up, could we adopt these five handouts into the record, please?
Yes.
I don't know if you need to name them. They're the economic benefits, the coordinated with emergency responders, commitment to environmental stewardship, no history of ag use, and sites comparative advantages.
I have a motion to accept the documents that we received during the...
I would make a motion
five, yeah.
Five
to accept these five documents into the record provided by the applicant.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion approved. All right. Madam Chair, could we take a 5-minute recess?
That's what she meant by five. That works.
Thank you.
I'm gonna... 5-minute recess, did you hear that online?
Not a clue.
But I did want to ask Gail who she does.
Yeah.
Recording stopped.
Yeah. Nope, he's not been ever nervous. Seen that gentleman. I know. And then we said Ben. No, I got laughing like about cracking yeah, school. I got lost.
They're just anything that he wants to fit in a box.
Yes.
Hey, it's Stephen. I just wanted to point out that there's a gentleman on the line, Ty. I think he wanted to speak in neutral.
Oh, I thought that was Jonathan. Is that a different person?
No, there's a gentleman, Ty, said at 722 Tamara, I wish to speak on the neutral part.
Oh, okay.
Share my screen real quick so you can see the chat log.
We can see it.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, yeah, right here.
Okay, I'll let Tamara know when she comes back in.
Okay,
thanks. Brian. Right. Is
the recording? Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Scotty.
You're in the area?
Yeah.
I see you got my email on my Twitter.
I
nobody else. You didn't. But do you know why I'm wearing a sweatshirt? Yeah, it has gotten chilly in here.
My fingers are
purple.
Yeah, I got goosebumps sitting back there.
And at the Portland Road today, we were so hot, and we were trying to figure out how to turn the air conditioner.